to me. And instead of complaining, I'm going to learn to lift my hand and just say, thank you, Lord. I've been misunderstood, Mother, but thank you, Lord. I've been talked about, but thank you, Lord. I've been lied on, but thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Don't know where the money's coming from, but thank you, Lord. Ah, yeah. Somebody ought to say thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I won't complain, Jesus. I'm going to thank you, Jesus. Instead of mumbling and grumbling, I'm going to say thank you, Jesus. You're an awesome God, Jesus. And without you, I don't know where I'd be. In fact, David said, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, I don't know where I'd be. I know where I'd be. I'd be dead and buried in my grave. But the Lord said, not so. So I'm just going to lift my hand and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't complain. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ah, yeah, that's a Selah moment right there. That's a Selah moment right there. Thank you, Lord. If we could just learn to just say thank you. No matter what we've gone through, no matter what last week brought, if we could just say thank you, Lord. All of our tears and all of our sorrows and all of our hurts, that stuff will be gone, 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 because the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So thank you, Lord, for never leaving my side. You've always been there. In fact, it was me who left you. But thank you, Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Thank you, Brother Dennis. I won't ever try to do your job again. I won't ever. Praise God for the ministry. God said, send me a minstrel. Send me a minstrel. And the meaning of a minstrel is someone who is able to usher in the Spirit of God with music. And I thank God for Brother Dennis. Who, without even knowing what's going on in my mind right now, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit brings those things together, and he always comes in right on time. Brother Calvin and Brother Mike, awesome. They are becoming minstrels. And I thank God. It's awesome how music can just usher you into the Spirit of God. Some people can just pray and get there. Some people can just walk in there. I need music to usher me into the Spirit of God, and I won't complain. Thank God, Cindy, that I won't complain. You ever get to a place where you just get tired of complaining? You get tired of mumbling and grumbling about this and about that and never looking at what God has done for you? Somebody said, if when I look back over my life and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. And I won't complain. That's awesome. I thank God for the Spirit of God in this place. I thank God. I'm sorry. I'm a walker. I've become a walker after being over Kirkbride for so long. I want to be with the people. I'm a walker. And I thank God for the opportunity to be home here at the
the main worship center. We have stopped calling it the big house because that's not it. It's now about worship. See, we're growing up a little bit and it's about worship. It's about worship. And when we come together, we need to worship God in the beauty of holiness. And so I want to be right here with you. I want to worship with you. God sent me here today to preach to you from the subject, go get it. It's your time. Sister Ashley, that might be for you. I don't know. But somebody in here needs to understand that it's your time. So you need to go get it. You just need to just. See, oftentimes we look at Satan and he scares us. And he puts things in our way and he puts obstacles in our way and he puts people in our way and he puts situations in our way and he scares us. And consequently, by him scaring us, he takes things from us. Sometimes he takes our faith. Sometimes he takes our family. How many of you, some family members are just out there? Just don't raise your hands. Amen. But he takes family members. He takes your faith. He takes your strength. He takes your kingdom mindset. You understand what I'm saying, Minister Mitchell? He takes stuff and he takes stuff and he continues to take stuff. And we get to the point where we get like Elijah and run into a cave sometimes and hide from the enemy. And what's a mighty man and mighty woman of valor doing hiding from Satan? You need to get up and go get it. You just need to get up and just go. Just go get it. You understand what I'm saying? I don't mind pugging. Fighting for those of you who. I don't mind fighting for what's mine. Brother Dennis, I thank God for how he brought me through the street. The streets of 21st and Westmoreland, gang worn and all of that, and just all of that. You can put up your signs if you want to. 21st and Westmoreland, Jack. Yeah. Uh-huh. Anybody else? What? What? That's right. 21st and Westmoreland. That's my sister right there. She, yeah, you know. Yeah. But I thank God how he brought me through the street, and he saved my life. But when he saved my life, he did not take that thug mentality away from me. You understand what I'm saying? Because I am a Peter. I will cut you. In the name of Jesus. Mother, we will lay hands on you. Amen, somebody. But I thank God for how he kept that in me. And so when I go to the scripture and I read thug scriptures like first, I look at scripture differently now. I look at scripture in a different way because life was real then, and folk want to the scriptures, you know, they're important, but that was life. And so when thug things happened. And so we don't want to sit back and minimalize what happened or make it, you know, something that it wasn't. It happened. And so when we go to 1 Samuel chapter 30, it was a story about David and 600 of his men. And previous to the chapter 29 is a story about how the Philistines, David had went to the Philistines and sought refuge there because he was on the run from Saul. Okay, so now he's in the Philistines' camp, and one of the lords came to the Philistine, Achish, or one of them guys, and he said, what is David and them doing here? And the man said, well, David's never done anything to me. He's always been an all right kind of guy. I'm paraphrasing it, thank God. But he said he's always been an all right guy. So, you know, what's the deal? He said, well, no, you need to make him go back the way he was. So they came to King David and they told him, you need to leave. So David took his 600 men and they left. Now, Ziklag was given to David by Achish, king of Agag. Given to him, and this is where David was. It was a temporary, wow. Ziklag was a temporary dwelling place for David and his 600 men. And when I saw that it was a temporary dwelling for David and his men, I thought about how this earth that we are on is only a temporary dwelling. Come on, somebody. It's only a temporary dwelling place for us. And so the things that we accumulate are only things that we accumulate. Those are things down. It's okay. You know, it's okay to live in a nice house and drive a car or a bucket or a hoopty or whatever you want to call it. It's okay, you know, to accumulate things. But this is just a temporary place. And we don't need to take much stock in this place. But we need to place our treasures in heaven. Where stuff don't go bad. Oh Lord, have mercy, Jesus. So now this is Ziklag was a temporary place for David and his 600 men. And so let me get the Bible because I ain't that smart. I can't remember. I got some timers. It says, amen. It says, and it came to pass that when David and his men were come to Ziklag, that means after he was kicked out of Philistine, he had to go back to the place where he was. He had to go back to Ziklag on the third day. That meant that it took 3 days for him and 600 men. Now, that's significant to understand because later on in the scripture, you'll see where something happened to 200 of the men, but 600 men had to walk 3 days. Now, if my wife and I go to Columbia, South Carolina, that it takes about 10 hours. And when we get there in a car, we whipped. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, Lord Jesus, it's a long way to drive. That's a long way for me to drive. Everybody in the car got driver's license. And then they got a nerve to wake up and say, we there yet? So when we get there, we're kind of tired. Now, can you imagine 600 men walking 3 days? So now the scene is set. They're tired. So now can you imagine when you turn the corner of your block that you see the whole block is burning? It says that David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, which is in the place of Engev, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. Now, it's interesting about the Amalekites. In chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, God sent Samuel to Saul and said, God sent me to anoint you king. And here's what you need to do. You need to go to Amalek and kill everything. Now you would think dang God, everything. He said, "I want you to kill the men, the women, the children, the babies. Wait, hold it. The babies that are sucking on breasts, our little teeny children." He said, "Now I want you to kill the ox, the sheep, the camels. I don't want you to leave nothing moving but them that's dying. And then I want you to make sure they dead. But Saul, being Saul, okay, that was, there was something. Saul being Saul, he left and he took captive Agag, the king of Achish. And he took some of the best sheep, the veal. Amen. He took some of the best spoils of the land because he was greedy and he was disobedient to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I'm trying to tell you, if God tells you to do something, you need to do it. Because sooner or later, it's going to come back to bite you when you don't want to be bitten. And so now, here it is. These Amalekites that are in chapter 30, in fact, in chapter 25, David had invaded the Amalekites and tried to rip them out the frame. And now, here they come. Those same ones that Saul didn't take care of, the same ones that David had tried to plunder, here they come, biting David in the behind. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm telling you, what you don't do when the Lord tells you to do will come back to take care of the situation. And see, wow, thank you, Lord. The scripture says something about when you sweep your house clean, that, and if you don't replace it with something great and good and joyful and wonderful and is of the Spirit of the Lord, something's going to come back seven times. And just as eight is the new beginning for us in Scripture, eight was the new beginning for Satan because he brought Satan and himself. So now you better be careful that what you don't do won't hurt you. In this instance, it hurt David. Says, and verse 2 says, and he had taken the women captives and that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Now, here is God showing up. That even in the fact that the Amalekites invaded Ziklag, burned all the houses down, they didn't kill anybody. Satan came walking in the garden and he said, who's that? God said, that's Job. He's a righteous man. He said, I bet you if you took your hedge of protection around him, from around him, that he would curse you. And God said, bet. He said, you can do anything you want to him, but you can't take his life. This God's still there. It's still happening. He said, they didn't kill anybody, but carried them away and went their way. I'm sorry, I got a kid. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And that word burned in the Hebrew means it was still burning. So now, can you imagine coming back to your hometown and everything is up in fire, up in flames, up in smoke? He said, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. It said, verse 4, it really starts to get real demonstrative of how God works. And how God still gets into everything. It's not even funny. It says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, here are all of these men. And I would imagine they kind of buffed up. You know, they got knives and swords and, you know, they got whips and slings, and you know David had a sling. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's David. But You know, these men were, I mean, they were, and here they are crying. They're crying warriors, crying. Now, here we are, mighty warriors, prayer warriors in the church. We got prayer lines. We got a 24-hour intercessory prayer. We got pastor, and we got co-pastor, and we got deacons, and we've got mother's board, and we've got so much power and authority. And yet Satan comes in, and he makes us weep. And some of us, thank you, Jesus, some of us continue to weep. We continue to weep because we're not tapping into that authority that God gave us. So now, watch this. David found out that his two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. He was depressed. He was mad. He was livid. Wait, hold up. Wait a minute. They got what? They got who? They got both up? Lord, I know I told you I was tired and all, but I ain't want you to take both of them. David's two wives were taken captive. Says David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. And when I saw that, I said, wow, here are men that have been with King David from the beginning. They knew what David was about. They knew how David could lead them in victory. They knew how David was a man after God's own heart. They knew David was a man that could do things that because of God, he could do anything through Christ, through God that strengthened him. And here they are. They're getting ready to kill this man. They're getting ready to kill the very one that has led them into victory after victory after victory. Isn't it funny that the very people that you lead will turn around and now try to stone you, try to kill you because something that is immaterial has been taken from them. Folks are real funny when it comes to their stuff. They will shout all over the church. They will speak in tongues. Toyota Hyundai, he coming in a Kia. They just speak in tongues. They all over the place. They will shout. They will quote scripture. They will. But as soon as you touch their stuff, run into their car. Tap that car outside. And watch them. I'm telling the truth. I'm telling. It's amazing how folks can lose it just like that. But here it is. They come back. They're tired. They're weary. They came back. They want to go to sleep. 3 days. Walking. Yes, indeed. I'm done. 3 days they've been walking. And now they want to go to sleep and everything they have is burned. Everything's gone. They ain't got nothing to eat. Nothing in the refrigerator. Cabinets. They even took everything out of the cabinets. They took the oodles and noodles. They took the Oreos. Yeah, can't even make no Tang, no Kool-Aid. They can't drink nothing but dust. Ashes and dust. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But here comes God. Because David encouraged himself. Now, we got to be careful of that. The scripture says, let me read it correctly. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, folks read that scripture and say that David, that's all they say. But David encouraged himself. David didn't do nothing. It was the Lord who encouraged David. So we've got to, you know, we kind of got it twisted. We have to realize that it's not you who's going to do this. It's God who's going to do it through you. So David encouraged himself in the Lord, and he called for Abiathar. He said, hold up, don't let me get to my stuff. You understand what I'm saying? He said, don't let me mess around here. Let me get to my stuff. Says verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Elimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. The ephod is a vest that was used to inquire of God. Okay? Here's our ephod. Our prayer closet is our ephod. We don't have them now, but we know how to get to him. Lord have mercy. You ever see somebody being chased by a dog? They get the ephod real quick. Pit bull running them up on the top of God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah. I figured that. It says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Elimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, listen, I know that I've not been everything that you wanted me to be. And we've been walking for 3 days. I can just imagine David praying. He said, God, we've been walking for 3 days. And when we got back, the town was burned. In fact, half the houses were still burning. Everything was gone. No food to eat. Our wives, our children, the cattle, the sheep, everything was gone, God. And so I'm wondering, I don't want to do things in haste. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to do something that you're not going to be pleased with. So shall I go? See, half of us, I'm guilty. That I won't ask nobody. If you mess with Tracy Michelle Paget, I'm not going to ask. That's my wife right there, so. That's her right there. If you mess with her, I'm not going to ask anybody. And I've been preaching for a few days now. It's been a couple of weeks since I've been preaching. I know the Lord. I know the scriptures. But I'm not asking nobody. Can I go get my wife? I'm gone. Brother Lawrence, you. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness, brothers? Whoop, whoop. Okay, I'm not the only one. I'm trying to find out here. About, you know, brothers, where you at? But David said, I don't want to do anything impetuous. I don't want to do things that's going to bring you grief, God. And so what we have to realize and what we have to learn is that we have to learn how to call on God in situations that are tough for us and to us. We can't just jump out of the airplane without a parachute because you're going to die. We have to call on Jesus and ask Jesus, what should I do? Should I go after them or should I just chill for a minute? If I go after them, will I get it? God said, go get it. God said, go get it. It's your time. God said, go. Listen, David, I want you to go and don't even think about what you're going after. Because while you're walking toward what you got to get, I'm going to make a way. I'm going to make a way. He said, while you're walking, the 10 lepers. He said, go wash. No, he said, go show yourself to the priest. Well, we didn't do nothing. You ain't touch us. You didn't pray for us, Jesus. You go. So as they went, they were healed. They were, oh, Lord, have mercy. As they walked, they didn't have no special effect, no laying on of hands, no holy water all over the place, no incense burning, and nothing. Just walk. And as they went, God healed them. So now, God told David, I want you to just go. Just go and you will get it all. In fact, you will surely. Now, when God says surely, it's yours already. Thank you, Sister Latifah. It's yours. Surely you shall recover all. Now watch this. David and 600 of his men broke camp. David said, hold up. Stop crying. Put your stones down. I got some. Well, where'd you get it from, David? I got it from the man himself. I got it from God. God gave me instructions. He said, go get it, and we're going to get everything that they took. We're going to get everything plus some. Lord have mercy. So now here's David, and 600 of the men, they get halfway to a brook. And 200 of them said, I can't do no more. 200 out of 600. Now we down to four. We down to 400. We can barely do it with six. But I'm going with God. I'm going with God because God said go. So now 200 of them chilling because they so tired. They are left back, and now the 400 are kind of ticked off because they are without 200 of their boys. So now they ticked off, but they say, all right, David, we're going with you. Now, as they went, who's that over there? No, check him out over there, man. So they ran over there, and it was a little Ethiopian boy. He was starving, like Marvin. He had got sick, and an Amalekite slave owner that was his slave. And so now he got sick, so the man said, can't take you with me? Isn't it funny how the enemy will drop you like a hot rock? So now here he is. So here is still, God is still working because David, I mean, if somebody, Tracy, take anybody in any way, I'm going to kill them. Bring me bail money and cigarettes up at CFCM. Now, God was still working because David saw this man, and God said, hold up, don't touch him, talk to him. Sometimes you just need to talk to folks. Wow. So they said, all right, who are you? He said, hold up, I'm sick. I was one of them slaves. I was a slave of one of them boys that took y'all stuff. I got you. I will take you right to, he started singing like the Temptations. He was jamming. He started singing, right. It wasn't just his imagination. He was, you know. So now they said, all right, what happened? He said, I got sick 3 days ago. He didn't know that David was from Ziklag. He didn't know that this is the town that they just tore up. So he said, 3 days ago, we tore this town apart. I got sick and my master kicked me to the curb. And here I am. But I tell you what, if you promise not to kill me, I'll take you exactly where they are. Look at God. God will make a way out of no way. He'll make a river in the middle of a desert. He'll make a road in the way of the wilderness. He will make a way out of no way. God said, don't kill him, feed him. Wow. Feed him. Feed him. Feed my sheep. For everybody's a candidate. So don't fight them, feed them. Gave him some fig cake, gave him some raisins, gave him some water, gave him what he needed to strengthen him. Now here this man was sick, now he's healed by God. David on his way, doing what God said do, and God made a way out of no way. They took this man, they found the Amalekite. And they whipped they behind from, my father used to say, from can't see to can't see. He used to say, I woke up so early in the morning that I couldn't see. And I worked all day till I couldn't see no more. They whipped him from dusk to dawn. They took everything. David found his two wives. And David was happy as a kid on Christmas. Hey, let me I don't want to be out of pocket. It says, so David went, he and the 600 men with them. He came to the brook of Besor. No, we're not there. David said unto him, to whom thou belongest? No, we ain't there. It says, and when, verse 16, says, and when he brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking David's stuff. You going to walk up on somebody and you drinking my favorite soda. You got my Danishes from out my cabinet. You got my Merc. You got everything that was in my house. You eating. That's what I say. He said they were all spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and, wait a minute, hold up. You see, that's not Kevin theology. That's right there. It said they were. Jerome in the house. I said, Jerome. So they were eating and drinking and dancing because all of the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. Verse 17 says, and David smote them. He smote them. He tore them behinds out the frame. That's what he did. He smote them from the twilight evening until the evening of the next day. I told you he smote from can't see to can't see. Y'all thought I was kidding. It was right there in that Bible. That's what it say right there. If they had an African American West Philly Bible, it would say from can't see. It said, and they escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon the camels that they took from David and fled. And listen at verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And what else to say? And David rescued. David was like, thank you. David started dancing there. He had one over here. One over here. Yeah, baby. We going up. Yeah. I got my baby back. I want my baby back, baby back. Amen, somebody. So now David broke in with the help of all of this is because the Lord. You can't do anything without the Lord until the Lord says, go get it. It's not your time. We have to sit back and just chill for a minute until God says, it's your time. Don't try it because you will fall on your face. If Jesus had went to the cross before his time, I would still be in a fallen state because it wouldn't have been Jesus' time. But God said, now is your time, son. I sent you into the world that it, when I say go. Oh, my God. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. I'm not going to move till he, Lord have mercy. I'm not going to move until my Father moves. So if my father don't tell me yes, I'm going to tell you no. So now if Jesus had went to the cross before his time, it would not have been time for us to come back to God. God wanted us. He said, I'm gathering all. He said, I want all of my children. So now the day that Jesus Christ was betrayed by Lazarus. By Judas, I'm sorry, by Judas, thank you. Y'all must be saved or something. By Judas. Then. Now it was time. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, that wasn't the specific time. When Jesus was in the temple at the age of 12, it wasn't the time. That was the age of accountability, is what we read in the lesson this morning. Jesus was in the temple at the age of accountability. Once he turned to the age of accountability, he started in his authority. He went to the cross and he died for you and me. He died a cruel death too. They nailed him to the cross. They nailed this hand into the cross, and then they pulled this arm out of socket because it couldn't fit to where it needed to go. And after they pulled it out of the socket, they nailed that hand. They put both of his feet together, and they nailed his feet to the cross. All of this was done while they were laying on the ground. And I hear Jesus laughing, saying, ha ha, you're doing good right now. In fact, you're winning right now. But I, if I be lifted up from the earth, you're done. You're done. And they made the mistake, Cindy. They lifted my Jesus. Lift the Savior up for the world to see. They lifted my Jesus up and he hung there. They even cut him. They messed up again. Because he said, now my people's sins are forgiven because I shedded my blood. The blood. And he stayed there all day Friday. And all Friday night. All Saturday. And all Saturday night, then my Savior said, that's enough. I stood all as I can stand. And I can't stand no more. So he got up. Now listen to this. The scripture says that when he got up and they went in to see him, he wasn't there, for his napkins were folded. If you ball your napkin up and put it down, that means you're coming back. But if you fold it up and place it neatly, that means you ain't coming back. My Jesus got up. He's coming back, but not to the grave. He's coming back to save my life. He's coming back for you, and he's coming back for me. Stand all over the church and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Go get it.